Hey, it's 6 minutes after by my clock. Gordon has showed up. So this is Ed Tuoio, who until Gordon shows up will be operating as K2VAR, the call sign of the Bearer of Bergen, I should say Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Bearer 6, the 955 repeater association, just does Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. If you use it regularly, you're encouraged to join. Okay, so far I've heard W1AU. The normal check-in procedure is very simple. You give a call. You tell us whether you have any questions or comments. We're going to wait. We'll have a nice pause between after somebody speaks and the next one at the beginning here so that people on Echolink can check in. I don't use Echolink, so I'm not going to be able to see anybody who's there trying to send messages. Okay, anybody who calls time begins with W, just like W1AU. Please call KTBS.
W2JEK, done. Nothing at this time. I may have a comment. Oh, yeah, we'll have a comment. I will have a comment. Back to that, W2JK.
Yes, and if we can get Jim Jackson or Patreon, we'll see if our conversion to make the Honda generator run for a couple days works. It's a runtime conversion kit that Jim Joyce and I cobbled up, four of them, two for me, one for Jim Joyce, one for Jim Jackson. Okay, any more W's?
W2CH, Ray, none of the above, good evening.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, any WA, WB, WC, whatever. N or A call.
AA2NI, Nico, none of the above.
No questions or comments at this time.
Hi, somebody think, I got Nico, AA2NI. Did somebody did open the perfect double with no questions or comments? May I please have your calls in?
This is Rachel, AJ4WD. No questions or comments.
Thank you, Rachel. Later on, I'm going to ask you, are you using the runtime kit? Since we didn't get a chance to test it out, we're going to ask you if it's worked. Okay, any more N's or A's? Okay, plain case, like K2ZO if you're there. K, K A, K B, K C.
There's no comments at this time.
Hi, I doubled with somebody. Go ahead, please repeat.
This is somebody. It's called K2AMI, and I have no questions or no comments.
Thank you, Tony. And since I have none either, it's going to be a really short next. Anybody else with a K A, K B, K C, Wayne K?
How about KF, KF2ID? I have a question.
Oh, good. Find me a question. Ben, you're supposed to be with the plain K because you're the only KF, and also Ben is supposed to be a plain K because he's the only KO in this area. Okay, anybody else I didn't check in yet?
Yeah, that's 2K. You might ask me a question. I don't know.
Got a question for you. Yes, Mr. Jackson. Anybody else who has objected?
W2JC, Jim, none of the above.
Okay, I got Jim, W2JC, and somebody doubled with him. The station who just called, who is not W2JC, please call K2VR. Okay. Anybody who has called yet, please call.
So Delta 2, Alpha India Kilo, Mike.
Okay, did you say W2, Alpha India Kilo, Mike?
It's KD2AIK, Mike over in Duma.
Mike, KB2AIK. I hope I got it right. Anybody else who has to check this? Okay, only one question today. It's our friend, Ben, KF2ID. Ben, would you please go with your question?
Hi, well, I'm looking into a software-defined receiver kit, and Soft Rocks, as far as I can see, they don't have anything available now. Their website goes back to 4 or 5 years, to get the exact number. In any case, if there's any kits out there, I think I just ran across one. But this is a little more costly than I anticipated in the kit area out there that's available now. If anybody knows of it, I'd appreciate it. It's KF2ID with the K2BAR.
Thank you, Ben. I think I'll pass that question over to Rachel. AJ4WD, you have any answer for Ben?
The Soft Rock from Tony Parks is the only one that I know of that's reasonably priced.
So that Soft Rock page, they say it's not available, and their page is back to 1985 or... Sorry, it can't be 1985. Let's see. I have it on a computer, actually. Back in front of me. Back again. Let's see. Soft Rock. 2005. November 16, 2005. So, and that page, they don't have it available at present. So, sold out. So I don't know of anything else. KF2ID.
K2BAR, AJ4WD.
Go ahead, Rachel. I thought I saw you making one a couple of years ago. Go ahead.
Ben, it's a Yahoo group that you need to get onto for Soft Rock, and it's through the Yahoo site that you're going to be able to order the software-defined radio. The website is out of date, as you've noticed, but they've moved over to Yahoo group, and the Yahoo site is where you're going to find all the current information. Back to Net.
Ben, if you need any help, either Rachel or myself can help you to get into Yahoo group.
Thank you. I'll give it a shot myself first. I've checked into other Yahoo groups in the past, so if I may get another trouble, I'll give you a call. all right, so that's a good tip. Maybe that's why I was having all this trouble. I keep going back there and always hoping they'll update it, and they never do. I don't know why they got it up there. Why don't they just take it down and get it over with? Or put a note. It's KF2ID. Hey, I just like it when people put things up on net and they leave it there forever. And no bother taking it down, even when it's way out of date. KF2ID with K2BAR.
Comment?
Go ahead, Rachel.
I believe the Yahoo group is Soft Rock 40. And once something's on the internet, it's always on the internet. It's one of those things. Once it's out there, it's out there. So be careful what you put on the net. Back to K2BAR.
Back in 1993, I was sat at the town of Ritual Park, and I put a website up called wheelchair.org, because at the that time I was in a wheelchair, and the streets were terrible, sidewalks I should say, gaping holes, 3-inch rises. So I documented it with a whole series of pictures, and you can go on the Wayback Machine and still see those pictures. And several different variations of the website as I changed it over the years. So anything that's on the internet, it's still there. Just go to Google, type in Way Wayback, W-A-Y-B-A-C-K, which I think came from Rocky the Flying Squirrel, the cartoon show. Okay. Is there any other questions, comments, or any late check-ins? Okay, I have one question for Jim and S2K. Is it working?
K-A-2-B-A-R and S2K. Actually, I didn't do the sucker hose kit. I only had one more can of gas or one more fill-up to do, and now at this point we have power back, finally. But, no, it was, yeah, we'll give it a try the next time. One of the problems that I've got is I did a bad thing. I poured the tail end of the first can into the machine, and it's been really quite annoyed ever since. I don't know if I got some contamination in the filter, or maybe some water into the thing or whatever. It's acting more like contamination because it's stable. I would expect water would be bad, and then not so bad. It would be, yeah, anyway, it acts more like the filter's plugged. I don't know. Anybody got any advice on that? NS2K.
I happen to have some advice. Choice one, take some CFO, and I have a couple cans. It's usually are in the range of $8 to $10 a can. It occasionally goes on sale. Pep Boys had buy two, get one free. It's a carburetor cleaner, and it's greatly admired by the people in the EU 2000 group. What they recommend is you put a shot of that with a cup of gas, and you run it through, or maybe even a few shots with a quart of gas, and let it run with a load, and it often will clear up a lot of problems. If your generator is the older vintage, there is a crummy little gas filter in there. It's not much bigger than a pencil eraser that I understand. It's a source of a lot of trouble. And the hose. You can go to the EU 2000 Yahoo group. You can see the postings on it. They have pictures. They tell you how to replace it, the whole bit. Try the Seafoam first. And the only reason I take Seafoam, S-E-A-F-O-A-M, because that's the one they keep talking about. They don't talk about any other brand. Thank you, Jim.
Very good. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'll try that, and I'll also look for the filter. It wouldn't surprise me if it was plugged up. It surges on, if I have moderate load. It surges if I don't give it just a little bit of choke. So it seems like the it's slightly starved for gas.
It's the classic sign that you have one of the little tiny passages, which is called the idle passage, plugged up. And it's $200 to $300 to have the Honda dealer do it for you. However, there is a complete detailed thing in the files on the website. Basically, you're going to use you take a copper wire, like a 12-gauge house wire, you take it apart, use one of the little tiny pieces of copper, and you clean out those little orifices. Seafoam first, because it appears to, and I have a can of it. Actually, I have a couple of cans. What's nice about seafoam is you can seal it back up again. It's got a screw top. So I bought three, ran one through my motorhome, ran one through my wife's car and my car, and I think I have the third can. Just before I put the generator away, I usually, for the winter time especially, I'll run a little bit of seafoam, just because I'm a little bit paranoid about those things getting plugged up. The other thing is the gas filter. I don't know how old your generator is, but that's one of the things. That's one of the reasons we don't have just a plain sucker kit, but we've included the filter in, a rather large filter, by the way. The other thing I should tell you is I thought I was going to be running that generator for a while. I had constructed it. I followed Mr. Jim Joyce's advice, used epoxy, put it in the filter that line that clear plastic line actually is very nice. It's got the reinforced end, and it actually is from the nebulizer kit for an asthma machine. So it's the finest surgical airline that you can buy. Anyways, may I recommend that you put a piece of tape around the joint where the tubing goes into the gas line filter, because I'm not so sure. I think the tubing will move and crack the epoxy seal. I don't think it's flexible enough. I actually have some black oil and gasoline resistant stuff that I was going to actually put another coating on, but then we stopped using the generator, and you had a need, so I gave went over to get coffee on Tuesday and passed on to Jim to pass on to you. Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for the advice. At some point I really, really have to join the group. It's one of, I have about 15 Yahoo groups and some others, but okay, I suppose I have to join it. Anyway, yeah, that's good. It's the same kind of thing I need to do, to the other, the Daihatsu, generator. I ended up doing a field strip. I got really good at taking that carburetor apart a few years ago when I was first getting it commissioned up at the VHF site. I found a piece of wire with a strand that was fine enough that I could get it into the orifice in the bowl. As I had tried cleaning it several times and run a lot of ether through it and various solvent, carburetor cleaner solvent, and it wasn't coming up. It would start, it would run moderate load, good. Try to put a heavy load on it, forget it. It would bog down, and that was the end of that. But I finally found a wire the right size, fine enough but stiff enough that I was able to clean out reasonably good that orifice. Anyway, we'll try the seafoam thing and see how that flies. Hopefully a great improvement. NS2K.
The other thing is they seem to recommend, and it's also in the manual, is every time you put it away, since I'm keeping them in the house, I will not bring them in until I drain them. Maybe I'm an old fuddy-duddy, but I don't want to have 2 gallons of gas in a container that might possibly leak in my spare room. It doesn't seem safe to me. So there is an easy procedure. You basically run the thing, use it stable as your gas until it's, well, I should say that. You drain it first. You can use the same thing, the same kit, because you just reverse it. Put the end in, drain most of it. We got most of it out. There's still, 3 or 4 ounces left. And stable it. We tossed in a little slug of seafoam, swished it around, started the generator up, plugged an electric heater in, provided load, ran it in non-eco mode until this thing sputtered and died. And then we opened the side of the generator, took the screw, drained the gas, and we used a cake pan to catch it because I didn't want it to go on my deck. So it actually worked really good. And I'm keeping it 100% drained in the house. The other thing I recommend is a nice big security cable so it doesn't walk off by itself. And I got the handle, the $35 steel reinforcement for the handle. So if somebody wants to seal it, they can't just do a quick little cut on the plastic part. They have to cut through the steel reinforcing plate. Okay. Anybody else have any subjects? Because I have no questions for today.
W2JC with a question.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, simple one. Would you spell the name of that carburetor cleaner? You keep saying it as if everybody knows what it is, but could you spell it for me, R?
Oh, sure. It's the word sea, like over the oceans and sea, and the word foam, S-E-A. S-O-A-M. If you go to the EU 2000, just type in the word Seafoam, you'll see all their references. These people are fanatics. I think they're the biggest booster this carburetor cleaner ever had.
Okay, thank you. I have no idea what EU 2000 is, but Google always saves the day. Over.
Oh, EU 2000 is the generator that Mr. Jackson has. It's the Honda inverter energy and inverter generator that you can put two in parallel. It is rated for 1600 watts continuous, 2000 max. Put a pair of them in parallel, you get 3200 watts continuous with a peak of 4000 watts. Start that difficult refrigerator, air compressor, whatever you're trying to start. They do have a 1000 that puts out, I believe, 800 or 900 watts continuous, but the price is like $600, $700. And the only thing I'd ever see that is I was doing mountain topping and wanted to bring a generator with me. The EU 2000 is in the middle. The EU 3000 weighs approximately 160 pounds. And it was a little too much, even though it has electric start. Mr. Tony, K2AMI, appreciates the electric start feature. I switched to the pair of the EU2000, ran my house. I ran, during the power outage, the fish tank, which has 200 watt heaters, which probably don't come on at the same time, and an air pump and a circulating pump. The refrigerator, which draws 11.5 amps, and just quite a bit of load. Small freezer, 5 cubic feet. My CPAP machine, a few lights. What else? I don't think we put the sump pump on. So, anyways, with that setup, 2.2 gallons of gas gave us 9.8 hours of continuous run time. And I knew that at 4:30 in the morning, the refrigerator started up, and I knew that one of the generators had stopped, because at that moment we got a sag in my CPAP machine, UPS thing, because the voltage had dropped below 105 volts or whatever. And it woke me up. I went out, filled up both generators, started it up. At that point, it was getting cold in here. The X-ray output on the 1500-watt electric heater, and we got approximately 6.4 hours of the exact same setup, plus using a 1500-watt electric heater, so we said it took 2.2 gallons. Okay, anybody have any questions?
Are you running a net, Noel? This is K2ZO.
Yes, Mr. Joyce. It appears that after 6 minutes, Mr. Gordon didn't show up, so I'm pontificating, and there was no questions except one from Ben, which the assembled multitude was able to answer. Over to you, Jim Joyce.
Okay. Sorry I got in here late. It was on a telephone. Okay, K2BAR. That's K2ZO. Alrighty. Yeah, I just caught the tail end of Jim's comment there about the generator. Yeah, with such small orifices, I guess you got to kind of keep them clean. And I've been using the stable, but I haven't been using any of the Seafoam yet, but I think I will get some of that. And I did find another fitting that will fit the filter that you have. They're 3/16 brass fittings that will slide into that filter and then also slide onto the tubing. I found them in the Home Depot up in Mahwah. Back to that, K2ZO.
Well, as you know, I rushed to put that thing together, and I'm afraid that after you move these things a few times, the epoxy, which is rather brittle, will, even though the gas won't hopefully eat it, I'm afraid that the plastic tubing, which is soft and moves, and the gas filter, which is probably a little bit more firmer, that there will be a discontinuity, and eventually the epoxy will crack, and you'll have a leak. And I had a vision of having a 2.5 or 5 gallon can of gas and have it disconnected from the fuel filter, and therefore you have a nice siphon with that gas running on the ground next to your running generator.
You're right. You inserted that line inside the thing. Okay. All right. Well, when I show you what I have, you'll understand what we're talking about.
I'm open to a better modification. As I said, I thought we were going to be stuck because the radio had been saying 3 to 5 days without power, and I kind of like rushed that together Sunday, just before the power came back on. By the way, it took me about 4 hours to get back from Middletown, New York, down to Tony's house. And all the premise was pretty much out, up and down 17, except for Home Depot, which has a generator. They seem to be running about every third or fourth light, but they were going full blast, and they have their registers on the generators, and even the self-service cash registers were on the generators, and they were selling lots of generators, lots of gas cans. And I just thought it was interesting, and they were just going like crazy on Saturday, which I stopped by and got a couple more gas cans. Okay. Anybody have any more questions? This is N2OER Operators K2VR.
This is KD2AIK. I got a question, not very technical, but I figured since there aren't that many questions tonight, what the heck?
Oh, we welcome any questions. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm a recently licensed ham guy, and I know from listening to shortwave that I hear international shortwave broadcasters all the time from 7.2 megahertz and up. On the general band plan, the general privileges end at 7.3, so I'm confused. Why would I hear international shortwave broadcasters starting at 7.2 and general privileges end at 7.3? Over.
Actually, you could hear them in the past down to 7.0 because there was a shared allocation, and there are three ITU regions. I think I'll pass this one over to Jim and S2K.
Why the other Jim and S2K?
Oh, I thought you would have more knowledge about the ITU regions than I would, about why are there... why does the general allocation go all the way up to 7.3 on the 40-meter band, yet Mike can hear international broadcasters between 7.2 and 7.3?
I was trying to point you in the Jim Joyce-type direction, who's probably much more familiar with the history behind it. But, yeah, it is a shared allocation that, how should I say, was not exactly friendly to ham radio operators.
This is K2ZO.
Go ahead, Mr. Joyce.
Well, as you pointed out, there are different ITU regions in the world. And in other areas of the world, 7.2 to 7.3, but in fact, not even, in many cases, not even that much, are not amateur frequencies. They're broadcast frequencies. So just because we have the assignment doesn't mean that somebody else on the other side of the world is not going to be transmitting there. But they did, by agreement, one of the things that was worked out, they moved. They used to be in the whole band, and most of them have moved up to 7.2 beyond that. But you have to realize that there are other countries in the world who pay absolutely no attention to any of this. Back to that, K2ZO.
Thank you. I thought that you gave a better answer than I would. Mike, maybe to AIK. Is there any more clarification that you need?
That I just avoid that part of the band altogether where it might conflict with a different region, even though the band plan is clearly defined otherwise. Over.
Okay, Mike, does that fully answer your question?
Yeah, it definitely answers the question. As a follow-up, should I just avoid that part of any band where I see a conflict like that? Over.
I would say no, because you're legally allowed to use it in this area, the North America region, and oftentimes you'll use that for a short hop of, what, 1,000 miles? So the choice, to answer that question, that is in Iowa, about there are certain times the international broadcast stations they'll come in, I believe it's daytime, get reliable communication. Jim, how many 1,000 miles or 100 miles does that work?
Okay, well, 40 meters is a band that doesn't really open up until late at night, in the evening, for the international stuff. So, yeah, during the day, you don't have them. They're not, even though they may be broadcasting, you're not going to hear them. However, at night you will. But, of course, if you're going to look for DX stations, ham stations, don't look in the area where the broadcasters are, because those folks are over in those countries, and they are all down at the bottom end of the band. That's why you hear so many amateurs working split on that band. They'll call way down at the bottom and listen further up. So it's sometimes a little tricky to work DX on that band because of all that other stuff that's there. It used to be worse. Back to that.
And I hear, I thought you were going to tell us about the woodpecker. Okay. Any more questions, or is it time to close the net?
Just one more comment regarding the woodpecker. Would that be the old Soviet over-the-horizon radar? Over.
Yes, it would. And it really did sound pretty awful on the shortwave band. I used to be an avid shortwave listener. Actually, early 50s. Yep, late 50s. We used to listen to Radio Moscow all the time. Cuba. They're one of the few stations you could always count on getting a QSL card from. Thank you, Mike.
Affirmative, KB2 AIK. Question satisfied, and thanks a bunch.
Okay, any other questions?
W2JC with a comment.
Go ahead, comments are welcome.
Yeah, you can still hear Cuba, and Russia is now called the Voice of Russia, since they split things up and everything. And a number of the Eastern European stations are still on shortwave broadcast. Most of the First World ones have gone off now.
My introduction was that approximately I decided to build a Christy radio, I don't remember why, about 8, 10 or 12. I think it was possibly because somebody that my father knew that we used to go, I think it was a tailor, but I'm not sure, had this big old radio with the magic eye, and it stood about 4 feet tall, and it had on a dial, you know, it would say Berlin and Germany and Japan and Russia. It was really quite interesting. By the way, if anybody is still an avid shortwave listener, you can type in Google English shortwave broadcast, and there are people that maintain an up-to-date listing. And you can get it two different ways, by Universal Coordinated Time, the names of the stations and so forth. And you can get it by alphabetical. I believe it's by country, but I wouldn't swear to it. I haven't looked at it in a while. Those lists are still available. It's still kept up to date. And it really makes it nice because you just simply get out your UTC clock and say, oh, I think I'll go listen to Radio Japan. And there it is. They broadcast at several frequencies, so you usually can pick one where you hear them. Okay, any other questions for the net?
Amen.
Go ahead.
I believe Don had a comment, and then I might have a follow-up.
Go ahead, Don.
Don, thank you very much. KQBR, and then just commenting that the Barra BE group will be running a test session on Friday, November 18th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. That was my comment. Back to that.
Okay, Rachel. Back to you.
I want to remind everyone that this Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and Barra will be having its business meeting at the Township of Washington Senior Center. I also want to remind those that are able to volunteer to work the New York City Marathon. That's going to be Sunday morning. Remember that the clocks fall back, so your clocks go back 1 hour. Don't want you showing up there too early for the marathon. And third, I've listed another extra amateur radio class that will be starting in the beginning of 2012. So those are some of the things that are coming up. I just wanted to bring that to you guys' attention. We also have the Hudson Division dinner banquet coming up on in 2 weeks. So with that, I'll turn it back to Ned.
Thank you, Rachel. I just found out I got reassigned from mile marker 8, which has lots of people, to mile marker 6, which only has 2, but I think or 3 with me. Looking for somebody that would like to ride to New York. I have to be there in Brooklyn at 6:40. And of course, at that time, of course, I loop down and go, what the heck is this, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge? I don't even remember. Anyways, go that way. Of course, getting home is a whole different story. But I like the 6, you're probably out by, 12:30, 1 o'clock? I think so. So far I've worked 16, 3, and 8, I think 3 or 4 times. Lots of fun. I can recommend it. Anybody who's interested, talk to Jim and S2K right now, call them, or you can email W2ML at the lead. Okay, any more comments? Anything?
Harley, check in KO2, okay.
Hi. Welcome. Just add you to the bottom of the list here. Anything that you have for the net, Bennett, because we're pretty much finished.
Hi, Noel. No, not really. I've been in and out listening for the last 20 minutes or so, between running into stores and errands and running back out and so forth and so on. Just arrived home. So I'll listen out. Good evening. KO2, okay.
Okay. So I'll say 73 to everybody. I'll officially draw the Barra Technical Net to a close and start a search party for W2TCT. Have a great day, everybody. This is N2OEL, operated as K2BAR. Officially closing the Technical Net and return the computer to normal operation.
Call. Much obliged. So what was your question for tonight?
I didn't have any.
Get a question.
No question.
Did you not have a question because you were net control, or did you not have a question or even a comment? In the meantime, W2JC will take it and hand it back to you, Noel. Hello, Jim. W2TTT. Again, a thousand pardons.
Hi, Gordon. Well, you know, we know you working guys are just unreliable, so what can we say? I'm just sticking my two cents in here because the radio was still sitting on this frequency. And to OEL, W2TTT from W2JC.
It needs to stay more often, by the way.
I didn't have any questions today.
That's why you had to be net control.
No, I deliberately started out the day with no questions.
You see, no, actually, Jim, it was not my working environment that caused this malfunction. It was my volunteer environment that caused this malfunction, amazingly enough. So, I'm running a large Cub Scout event that as of now has about 200 people registered, which means that we'll probably have close to 300. I'm trying to make some value judgments as to how much of this and that I should order and provide for, etc. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, I'm sure we'll figure something out. What else? I don't know. It is what it is. What amazes me is that how few people you can function with in order to get something done and still do a quality job. It's sometimes frightening. But anyway, Noel, thank you very much for running that. Were there any questions? How long did the net run? Who checked in, et cetera? Noel?
Oh, it ran 50 minutes. There was one question from Ben about the Yahoo. Well, he had a question about software-defined radios, the soft rock, and he found out the website was last updated in 2005, and Rachel explained to go to Yahoo Group.
Any other conversation?
He talked a lot about generators.
Oh, so tell me about some of it.
Basically, I sent back the information that I had learned on the Yahoo group about something called Seafoam, S-E-A-F-O-A-M.
Is that the stuff that you put in to protect your generator when you're not using it?
No, that's stable. Seafoam rips off all the little deposits that drive you crazy.
Break up rust?
It's generally a lot of small generators, especially like the Honda, have these little pinpoint orifices, especially the idle orifice. And when you reach the point where you have to run it with the choke on partially, just to get the thing to run reasonably smooth, one of your idle ports is clogged up.
Ah, I see. Okay. I have to replace my gas tank on my Briggs & Stratton generator, my EKW, which I'm not very happy about, but the tank is just increasingly rusted in between. Mr. Jim, what was your take on the evening's festivities?
Well, I hesitated whether I should check in or not because I was in the middle of recording three webinars on three separate PCs and the police radio running in the background on the other side of the room, so I couldn't get up. Well, I could, but I didn't get up and turn that down. But I checked in anyway, because nothing was happening. And Noel did a good job. Kept things going, even though there wasn't much to go. But needless to say, everybody got generator workouts. And I was lucky.
Well, I was lucky because my generator didn't seem to want to start Sunday morning. When I pulled it and pulled it and pulled it and pulled it, it just didn't seem like it had any spark. But then it was very nice and came over, physically came over and looked at it, showed me how to pull the air cleaner off, which I never would have guessed was the air cleaner. And we cleaned some chipmunk stuff out of that and put it back together. And well, actually started it up before we put it back together, which probably helped clean out the flooding from not firing. But anyway, I didn't actually say, well, this turned in it.
No, Bennett's a good guy. He really is a kind-hearted guy. Real smart, too.
Yeah, well, my generator gave me grief because it clogged again. And during Irene, before Irene, I cleaned it up, and after Irene, it stayed fine. But within a month, the increased rust on the inside of the tank just bothered me. So I'm not going to replace the tank with yet another tank. I'm going to try to get Briggs and Stratt to give me a new tank and valve. If they don't want to do that, I'm going to get a replace the tank, which sits on top, with a piece of just aluminum plate. And then what I'll do is I'll just get a couple of motorboat tanks, you know, 5 or 6 gallon motorboat tanks, and gravity fed ones, and replace the tank that's there with a removable tank and a dripless valve mechanism, which is what I think I prefer to do anyway. Anyway, Mr. Noel, what's your thought about that? Going to a motorboat gravity feed tank.
Well, Jim Jackson, Jim Joyce, and myself made kits, extended runtime kits for our Honda generator. We don't have to worry about that because ours has a fuel pump, and you can set the generator on a table and suck from something underneath the table.
Ah, I did the siphon thing with the cap, did you?
No siphon. We bought 4 extra caps. Jim Joyce has a drill press to drill them out and find fittings. I happened to find some surgical tubing that is used for the nebulizer. It has a nice reinforcement on each end, but it's this way. When you put it in the fitting, it doesn't crimp at the top. And at our pretty local Walmart, $2.84 a big fuel filter, because on small generators, you filter everything twice.
The other thing that's missing, I hear you. Is the portal on my on the valve on the bottom of my tank is so small that it clogs easily, and what it really needs is a bigger port and then a big monster fuel filter, and it has no fuel filter and a tiny port, and it clogs up with all the accumulated rust from the improperly designed tank. Anyway, that's pretty much what we're doing there. So Jim, you want to add anything to this?
Well, I didn't mention this either on the net, but I think I loaded mine up just about as far as I could load it up. Because at one point, the lights went almost out, and it sputtered and stalled out. And I turned a couple of things off and went out, pulled the rope again, and it started right up. So I figured it probably got stalled out from being overloaded. But at that point, I had the neighbor's refrigerator on an extension cord, had my freezer, my refrigerator, 2 PCs, the light, I don't know what else, all running off of it, and it was still doing pretty well. So now I know at least about how much I can put onto it before it complaints. Took a few things off, and it was a lot more stable. W2TTT and 2OEL from W2JC.
Just out of curiosity, what's your rating on your generator? What generator do you have?
I have a very nice Coleman 5000 water.
Okay. Very nice. Cut now.
Step 2, 3200 watts continuous, 4000 peaks.
You have two 3kW generators? I thought you had two 2kW generators.
No, I got two 2kW generators. 4000 watt peak, 3.2 kW continuous.
Okay. I see. That's right. I see what you mean. Well, very good. Oh, man. Well, I need to go into the 7-Eleven, pick up some supplies for my son, who's going to be up at 4:30. So he can go to work. He's going to be in Mahwah before 7. He's going to be there at, like, 6:40 in the morning. And I'm driving Jeremy and his buddy to school tomorrow. Which means I'm out the door at 6:30. So, it's a busy day in the neighborhood. Anyway, you guys care for now. I'll be right back. I'm just going to run to the 7-Eleven real quick and come back out. If you want to carry on with each other, that'd be most fine with me. WCKC, Allison and on the HD, W2CTT.
I got to be in Brooklyn at 6:40 Sunday morning.
Yeah, me too. Don't remind me. W2TTT.
That's switch from mile marker 8 to mile marker 6.
Why?
He had 8 people at 8, and Mr. Mendelson only had 2 at 6.
I got news for you. He's down 2 guys from where he thinks he is at mile 7 now. One's got a health issue and one got called into work. Go inside. I'll be right back. WTTT.
Yeah, I didn't turn the radio off yet.
I got these neat little toys that I'm going to use to build the converters so I can run my HTs off of higher voltages, such as I have these ancient radios that really, really like 9.6 volts, 10.8 volts. They'll run on 7.2. So they run 7.2, gives you 2 watts. 9.6 gives you 3 watts. 10.8 gives you 4 watts. And 12 gives you 5 watts. And 13.8 gives you lots of heat.
I was waiting to see what you said about 13. Yeah, and heat's not good for electronics.
I was going to use like an LF-317. So I went on the internet and found all sorts of toys that allow you to take in a higher voltage and feed in a lower voltage. I feed out a lower voltage. So anyway, here's one. Input voltage, DC 530 volts. Output voltage, 27 volts. Input voltage must be greater than the output point, 1.0. And load regulation, plus or minus 1%. Voltage regulation, plus or minus 0.5%. Good from minus 40 degrees centigrade to 85 degrees centigrade.
In case you want to use it for your desert robot, remote controlled from New Jersey.
I was thinking Winnipeg. One time, I was working for a trucking company, and I happened to be calling Winnipeg at about noon our time, and I guess it's like 9 o'clock their time. And the young lady was explaining to me she had a really hard time getting to work that morning. Her oil heater hadn't been working properly. And I said, well, gee, I asked the car about that. She says, oh, no, it's in the garage. It's just that we have a heater for the oil, and we have a heater for the radiator. The oil heats the engine block, and the radiator supposedly the two of them together. And I said, gee, how much heat are you putting in there? She says, well, at night we only put about 200 watts, but we have a timer that goes on and kicks it up to about 600 watts 2 hours before we start the vehicle. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's in the garage. Exactly how cold it was. And she said, minus 40. So I get off the phone, I turn to my fellow roadway employees. I say, what the heck is minus 40? Is that centigrade or is that Fahrenheit? And it took us about 10 minutes of Google search to find out it's the same.
Ah, that's the convergence point. Yeah, there's, in fact, you know the car guys on NPR? That was one of their questions. They have a question thing every week. That was one of theirs a couple weeks ago.
Yes, CCT?
Place that I have to feed 600 watts to heat to my car in order to start it up in the morning.
I don't know why anybody lives in a place like that.
Where is this?
Winnipeg.
Oh, I got an issue. You can live in Ohio and have that. Or even up in New York State.
Now, Gordon, your audio is about 100 times stronger than Noel's. I don't know which one is better, but I have to keep my finger on the volume knob back and forth between you two guys.
Now, I'll try to speak lower and at a further distance from the microphone so that you don't have to play that dance, but he's very low. You're a lot louder than Noel is. I remember more than once being in Cleveland or someplace like that in Rochester in the middle of winter. And, you know, my battery could crank the motor. The motor didn't want to crank. It was so cold. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it wasn't a question of electricity. It was a question of can you make the metal and the oil move. And, you know, I had set up the vehicle to live in New Jersey, not in Ohio, and went there for a weekend, and it was like Arctic tundra. I was out at the what used to be called NASA Lewis Space Center. Now it's called NASA Glenn. Hey, here's an interesting question. How would you like to have the NASA Lewis Space Flight Center named after your relative, Mr. Lewis, and all of a sudden some astronaut named John Glenn shows up, is a homeboy from Ohio, and they rename the facility for somebody else out from underneath or your namesake. How would you feel about that?
That's so great. I was born in Buffalo, moved to central New York State, and when I moved out here, I'm the only guy that had snow chains.
My father used to have chains for his 49 Oldsmobile.
Father had chains in the trunk when we moved to Shreveport, Louisiana, and people wanted to know what those were. Were those tow chains? He says, no, those go around the tires. And they go, for what? My father said, snow and ice. And they went, really? And oddly enough, the one winter we were there, just after New Year's in 1971, we got about 4 or 5 inches of snow in Shreveport, Louisiana. It hadn't snowed there in decades in any appreciable other than trace amounts. And we were sledding on the levees. We were the only ones with sleds. Everyone else was using their trash can lids and pieces of cardboard. But we had sleds and toboggans on a 50-foot levee. We had a ball. But my dad drove around in snow chains in Shreveport, Louisiana. People want to know, how come, what's the as your father drives down the road, what's wrong with your daddy's car? What's wrong with your daddy's car? Sounds like something wrong. I said, oh, those are the chains. Chains?
I changed it from, never mind. You know, we are in Shreveport, Louisiana, 1971. You could imagine what chains were for, okay?